Well, thanks to Mountain again. Thank the brethren here so much for the invitation to come and the confidence you had to ask you to come. And I really enjoyed being among you. And I hope you've been edified by the lessons we presented. I hope they've been true to God's word. And just really enjoyed being with you. You've been very encouraging for me and my family. And I look forward to seeing you as often as we can. Again, I want you to get your Bibles out with me as we go through this lesson. Please examine everything that we say. And if there's any questions you might have, be sure to let me know that I can make any corrections that need to be made. I want to kind of end our meeting on the set that we started off with, talking about the sufficiency of God's Word and how it's all we need to do everything that God wants us to do. And then Saturday night we talked about the ungodly and the sinner, where they're going to be in the judgment. And tonight, or this morning rather, I want us to close up thinking about something we all know, or we should know, the importance of evangelism, the importance of sharing the gospel message. And over in the book of John, chapter 4, Jesus said, "Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." And the Lord said way back then, there were people that needed to be saved, and it's true today. Just like it was back there. Man is in the same condition that he had then. He has separated himself from God. But God has always wanted man back. And this is what the Bible is about, isn't it? The story of redemption. That God has made a plan to save man from his sin, to bring him back into the relationship that he had with him so long ago. Look over at 1 Timothy with me, chapter 2. And we read there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," talking about them to pray. And verse 4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And so God wants more than anything to have his people back, all mankind to be saved. And there's nothing more important that I can think of for the Christian to do than to share the gospel message with people. To let them know that God is there and he wants them to come back. And sometimes we need to be reminded about that. It's easy to be discouraged in our world with all the sin that's around about us, all the error, and the huge number of people that are falling for that. But we need to keep on preaching and teaching the gospel message to people. And so this task of personal work is difficult for a lot of people. I think out of all the things God asked us to do, this is probably one of the most difficult things to get people to do, to share the message with people. And we've got to do it. A lot of us don't. A lot of us rely on other people. A lot of us have excuses. I do too sometimes. It's something we all need to be reminded about and work through and get busy doing. So this morning we want to ask the question, must I do personal work? And we all know the answer. It's yes. We want to talk about that. And I'm going to, of course, bring out the point that it is an obligation. It's a duty that you took on when you obeyed the gospel. But you know what else it is? It's a privilege. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to share the gospel with people. And so it's not one of the things we say, it's like dependence. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. It's a privilege to be able to share that. So hope I can bring that out as we talk about it. So when we think about that question, must I do personal, we need to recognize the need. Be reminded of the need as to why we're here. Why are we here? Why are we supposed to go out and talk about these things? We need to be reminded about that. Remember that all will sin. He said this several times within. All will sin. All will suffer the consequences. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Isaiah 59:1-2 says that our sin causes God to turn his face from us. It separates us. It's terrible. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And so sin will come into people's lives and it will cause them to be lost. And the consequences are terrible. We say all the time, they'll be lost. But what does that mean? What are we talking about? We need to remember what we're talking about. What's going to happen to people? Even to you and Moses, Paul. They're going to hear things like this. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Matthew 7:23. What a terrible thing to hear. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." They're going to hear that they're going to be going into everlasting punishment. In Matthew 25:46. Everlasting. That never ends. Punishment. Terrible. "The lake that burns fire and brimstone." Revelation 21:8. That's what it means to be lost. "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." Revelation 14:11. For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:48. That's what it means to be lost. We need to remember that. Get that picture in our mind. Because we don't want to be there. But we should want another soul to be there. And so God doesn't want that. We've already read 72. His desire is for no one to have to suffer that punishment. He doesn't want that to happen. That's why he sent the Lord, isn't it? That's why he gave us this word, to guide us back to him. And God has never, ever not warned us about that. He has been shouting to man all down through the ages about what his need is to come back to him and what was going to happen if he didn't do that. We need to take heed to that. Why we need to do this? Why we need to warn people about being lost? God says in Ezekiel 3:17, give them warning from me. He told Ezekiel to go to the nation of Israel there when they were in captivity and to warn them to turn back, to look back to him. We read in Genesis 3, he told Adam and Eve, you should not eat of it, neither should you touch it. But see, now he warned them. What would happen if they were to go against him and not to follow his will? Jonah. God through Jonah told the Ninevites, 40 days in the middle of the shall be overthrown. He warned them about what was going to happen. Paul told those Athenians, the Gentiles, that God had fixed the day in which he would judge the world in righteousness in Acts 17:31. And so he warned them. And man has a choice to make, it's life or death. But Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Man has a choice. And so there's a need for us to go. Man's condition hasn't changed, has it? People are still sinning, still being lost. And we've got to do something about it. There are millions of souls. Think about it. Just in this one little community, here we are. How many sound churches are in this town? How many? One. And I know most of you, wherever you are, the same kind of thing. Think of all the souls that are out there that are lost. How can they hear of God's love for them and his desire for them to be saved if no one takes on the work? There's so many people. The preachers can't do it by themselves, can they? Elders can't do it by themselves. Everybody's got to do it. Everybody's got to get on board. Because all this sin and fall short. He's got to get out there. There's a need for this work. It needs to be carried on. And so we understand that. We need to also understand, when we think about this question, must I do personal work? But there's a message to share. There's something to say. There's a need that needs to be met. There's a message that needs to be given. Look over in Luke 2, isn't it? And the message hasn't changed. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read in verses 10 and 11 when the angels announce the Lord's birth. It says there in Luke 2, and verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What a wonderful message. Great tidings of joy, they said, is going to be announced. They're amazing. It was for all people. Everyone. Back in Genesis 12, you remember what the Lord told Abraham? That through his seed all nations shall be blessed. Everyone. Jew, Gentile, everyone is going to be blessed. Isaiah 2:2, when the Lord is going to establish a mountain, all nations will stream into it. That's what he says. Every person. And overlook in John 1. John chapter 1. And John the Baptist, what he says about the Lord. John 1 and verse 29. John says there, he sees Jesus coming, he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so great news to share. There's a Savior coming to save the world, all people. Jesus came to save all, didn't he? Not just some. He wants to save us all. Everyone won't be, I know that. But he came for all. Luke 19 and verse 10, he said he came to seek and save the lost. That's why he's here. He came to save all people. And he picked messengers. He chose messengers to equip them to go out and to deliver this message. Look in Matthew chapter 4 with me. Matthew 4. Because Jesus knew he was coming here for a time, he had a mission to complete. He was going to come here and live among men and teach them, and then he was going to have to give up his life. He was going to have to go to the cross and to die and to sacrifice himself, and then he was going to go back to the Father. somebody had to carry on the work when he left. He sent the Holy Spirit here to guide the apostles into all the truth, and in Matthew 4 began reading about the men. He began to pick disciples to follow him to do this very thing. Matthew 4:18 says, and Jesus walking by the sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, the ship of Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. And so we began to see the Lord gathering people, gathering men to help him, to train them, to teach them, to go on after him, and to keep on teaching this message, proclaiming it to people. There in John, the 20th chapter. Turn to John 20. And look at what we read there. John 20, and in verse 21, the Lord says, Jesus said to them, rather, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And so the Lord took these men, and he trained them, he taught them, he sent the Holy Spirit back to guide them, so they would not remember, they would not forget, rather, anything that he told them, so they could reveal it to people, all down to the ages, all the way down to me and you, over in Matthew, the 9th chapter. Turn to Matthew 9 with me. In verse 35 through 38, you turn over there, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Lord did just that. He equipped these men to go out and to preach and to teach, as John says in his gospel, the things that he wrote were written that we might hear and believe. And so the Lord sent this to all people. The mission was to go out and preach. We look at Matthew 10, and he sends out the apostles there in verses 1 through 8. And he looks at Luke 10, he sends out the 70. The Lord was about discipling people, making disciples that they would go and also teach others. And so this message is for all people. And the message is the same. Christ the Lord, right? That's the Messiah we're talking about. He was telling, his coming was foretold. The prophets all talked about the Messiah, that he would come. There in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, there the birth of Christ is, he shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Angel told Mary that. The prophets have been speaking about that, that he was going to come, he was going to die for the sins of people, of every man. There in the book of Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. A wonderful chapter that talks a lot about the Messiah there in verse 6. Isaiah says, and all we are like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the message. That Christ came to die for you and for me, for our sins, for everyone's sins, to pay the price. He gave his life just for that one reason. There in Matthew 16. You put that over there, to Matthew the 16th chapter. And look at what is said in verse 21, Matthew 16. And there in verse 21, just from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. The Lord told them what was going to happen, how he was going to have to suffer and to die, to save man from sin, to save man from death, for that eternal punishment we were talking about before, back in Isaiah 53. Verses 4 and 5. He says, surely he hath borne our griefs and our, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so the Lord did that to you as a man. Endure what we should receive. We should be punished for our sins, shouldn't we? We should be getting that reward, that eternal damnation. But he came so we wouldn't have to do that. To reconcile us back to God. It says from the very beginning, to put us back in that relationship that we have lost. And then Romans 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's the message we want to let people know. They have a chance. And when we accept that gospel, we look at what the Lord has done, what are we to do? We're to die to sin and live for him, to give ourselves over to him 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the gospel. Paul talks about that. He came and he died, he rose again. We're to hold fast to that. There in Romans 6, he talks about baptism and how we are to die to sin and live to God. Look at Romans 6 with me. Listen, if you're familiar with that. But verse 3 says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, and therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be like his resurrection. Knowing this," verse 6, "that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." We've got to die to sin, live to the Lord, or be lost forever. Satan is willing to tell us what the angel we read that last night. The terrible Satan that awaits the ungodly knows no other than the gospel. So Christ has come to save. That's the message. And it's to go into all the world. To every creature. We have the book of Mark, 16th chapter. If you want to flip over there with us, most of us can probably quote that. We've memorized that commission. Look at Mark 16 with me. And verse 15, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We've got a message to share that there's a Savior who's come to the world to save us all. And we're to tell it everywhere we can, to everyone that we can. The apostles were commissioned to do that very thing here in Mark and in Matthew 28. They were told to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, to all nations. Christ left them to deliver the message. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As I said, Christ knew he could not stay. And so he committed his gospel to these men, what we call the earthen vessel. 2 Corinthians 4 verse says, "We have this treasure," Paul says, "we have this treasure in earthen vessels with the excellency of the power of God, actually the power may be of God and not of us." And so Paul describes himself as an earthen vessel that has the message. That's what you and I are, Christians, with earthen vessels, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have to share it. The Lord's invitation is, all must come and learn of me. He wants everyone to come and to hear and to know him, and he says, go and teach. When you know the message, you're to go and teach that message and proclaim it to people. And so the message is there. Man needs to be rescued from sin and death. God has answered that need with the gospel. He provided the way out. He sent the message out. Do we care enough to share it? You're a vessel. You've got the gospel in you. You, all of you that have been baptized into Christ, you know enough to tell somebody else what they need to do. Do we care enough to share it? That's the question. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are we willing to lay our life down for him? To go out there and risk whatever it might be to share that word with other people. There's a message to share. And then we need to recognize that. It causes the message. All must go and teach. We need to recognize that. Must that be personal work? All must go. No one's excluded. We want to go here to Matthew 25 and look at the parable of the talents, and we're going to spend the rest of our time talking, making some points from that parable. Matthew 25. And I will begin by reading the whole thing, and then we'll go through and talk about some of the messages we can, or lessons we can glean from it. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made him other 5 talents. And likewise he that had 2 received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And he said, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not sown. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that what is thine. And his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sown, and thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchange. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath ten talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye an unprofitable servant in the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We can learn a lot from this parable of the talents, about going and teaching the gospel, about the obligation that each one of us has to go and to do that. And we saw there in the 14th verse there that the servant gave his goods to the master, the servant gave the master goods, and he went on the journey. So Mark asked you, how does that relate to you and me? What can we learn from that parable? Well, Jesus has gone to a far country, hasn't he? He's not here with us. He's gone back to the Father to be with him. And he's left his goods behind, hasn't he? He's left the gospel back down here on earth. He entrusted it to his earthen vessels, the apostles, and what have they done with it? They've commended it to other people. They have shared it with others. And when we learn that, we've got to do something about it. The Lord left the gospel with you and with me. And when we learn it, when we know it, that brings a duty and an obligation on each one of us. We've got to do something with that message, because it doesn't belong to you or to me. It's not my message. It's the Lord's message. Look at how Paul has been talking about this. It's the responsibility every one of us has. Look in Romans chapter 1 with me. Paul and Peter talk about this. The duty, the responsibility, which is really the privilege, to talk about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ with us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul spoke to himself like this. He says, I am the debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. How was he a debtor to them? What did he owe these people? What did he owe them? Read on, verse 15. He says, message to me, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. Paul owed him something. It was the gospel. He had a debt to pay. It wasn't his message. He'd been given the message to share. And he had to give it out as much as he could. 1 Corinthians 9. And in verse 16, Paul again says something about that. He says there in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity, he says, necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He couldn't hold on to it. He had to preach it. He was compelled to preach it. He wanted to preach it. Wasn't his message. He had to get the message out. 1 Peter 4. Peter says something similar as well. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what you are, Christian. You are a steward of the manifold grace of God. That's the degree that they had the power, that we had the message. We had the message, just like they do. If any man speak verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, and him be praised and dominion forever and ever. We've got to recognize that we have a duty and responsibility. Now that we know, we've got to share it. Think about how many people that you come in contact with every day that haven't heard the gospel. They don't know the truth. They don't know it. And nobody else knows them. Only you do. I may never meet them. Bob may never meet them, but you know them. Will you share it with them? You have an obligation and a duty. Are we using our talents to take advantage of the opportunities we have? Everyone has a chance to talk to somebody, and all the service we're giving something. In our parable, back to our parable, verse 25 of Matthew 25. Everyone was given something. each according to their abilities. See, God knows what you can do. He knows what you can do. And we're not going to get more than we can handle. And everybody here is a Christian. You know the gospel. You know that much. You got the ability to share that. And so what have you been given? What talents do you have? What abilities do you have? Are you using them to share the gospel? Are you leveraging everything you have to help the Lord get the message out? You need to. All the servants are given that. All of us have something that we can use. And all are expected to grow. The management's been given to them. And then increase. Again, we saw there in verses 16 through 18 that they were going to be reckoning with their master. Everyone had to do something with it. And the first one, what did he do? He increased his out. He grew. Are we doing that? Are we increasing? Are we spending time in God's Word? Trying to grow and to learn more and more. So we can do more. We can help more and more. We've got to be busy about studying, about meditating on God's Word. I think today, it's one of the greatest times to be alive and to be a Christian right now. The technology that we have is a blessing and a curse. But it's a blessing in some sense because do you realize how much material is at your fingertips? The vast amount of things you could get, sermons, study materials that used to be very expensive to get their hands on. They'd have a lot of money to get your access to some of these things. But now they're just right there. I can't think about the number of preachers and good lessons I've heard because of technology I would never have gotten here because these preachers are not in Georgia. They're not in my locality. They're out of my reach. But I thank God if I live now, I can get access to some of these good lessons. They're all right here in this book. And there are people that are preaching and teaching. We need to take advantage of everything that we can. Bible studies, whatever tracts that we've got, we need to use and increase. And if we'll use our talents, we'll see an increase in growth. 1 Peter 2 talks about longing for the Word like a newborn baby. If we eat, we'll grow, right? That works in the food area, I know, but it also works in the spiritual area. It just goes and goes and goes. We need to be growing and learning and sharing everything that we can, leveraging all of our assets to do. Now the other servant, he buried his talent. Two of them did good, they increased. But the one, he buried his. Why? He was afraid. Fear held him back from doing something with what he'd been given. And he was fearing the wrong person. The Lord said in Matthew 10:28, don't fear man. What can they do? They kill you. Yes. And they can destroy your soul. God can't. We need to have the right kind of fear. But sometimes we are afraid of people. We're afraid of all kinds. It holds us back. We start making up excuses as to why we can't teach. Why we can't teach. I can't do it. I just can't. It's just not in me to do that. I don't want to lose our friendship. Sometimes that holds us back. It could be a family member or a co-worker or something like that. We're very close to it. We don't want to lose our friendship. We're afraid that if we share the message, they won't want to be our friends anymore. We have to get over that. The wrong kind of fear. Matthew 10:34, Christ is not sending any teach for the sword. He's trying to save people. Sometimes that will happen. We can't let that hold us back. We've got to get over the fear. We can't let it stop us from sharing the message. Sometimes we might say, let Brother So-and-so or Sister So-and-so do it. They're better than me at that. They're more capable. And that may be true. But if it is, you know what? You can at least make the opportunity to teach. You can talk to your friends and your family and make the opportunity. If you're not able to teach that person, bring whoever it might be in there to help to do that. But don't let that stop you from doing it. Don't let it become an obstacle. Don't be afraid because of that. It will not work here. Oh, I've heard that. I can't think how many times I've heard that. Somebody comes up with an idea to trying to go out and evangelize them. They won't work here. They won't work here. And we keep saying that long enough and not enough, we just won't do nothing. Can't do that. Got to get up. We can't be afraid. We'll bring it up again here towards the end. The power's not in you and me. Never has been. Not in our message. No, that's not in that. We have an obligation to share the message. That's our job. To try that once and fail. I've heard that before. Don't let that hold you back. Keep on going. Keep on going. God gives you answers. We're not ready for that here. You can just go on and on and on and on. It costs too much. Sometimes that's true. We don't need to take on work we can't afford to do. That's true. But again, fear will paralyze you, and you won't share the message. You won't go and teach anything. So what happens is you become faithless. Like this servant. He was faithless. He's been given one thing, one talent, and he buried it. He did nothing with it. We can't do that. Time is so short. Life is so short. There are so many souls that we're coming in contact with all the time. And we need to be praying for opportunity, looking for opportunity, taking advantage of everything that we can to try to help people. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul told the Colossians, just walk in wisdom toward them that are without, and stop trying to redeem the time. Let your speech be always in grace, season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everything. We need to be making the most. Ephesians 5 is the same thing. We don't have a lot of time. We need to be leveraging it for the Lord, doing everything we can do. Don't be faithful. Be faithful. Don't be afraid. Hebrews 13, 16, the Lord's my helper. What can man do to me? What can he do? Share the message. Put it out there. And let God do the rest. Don't be faithless. Be faithful unto death. He says it all the time. Hold fast to the end. And this message is the same thing, friends. You cannot hold it in. You've got to let it out. You've got to live it and teach it to every person that you can. You've got to trust in God and not in yourself. That's part of our problem, I think, a lot of times when it comes to this. We are so worried about what we're going to do. What we're going to say. The power is not in you. It's in the seed. It's not the sower. It's the seed. That's what's important. If we put the pure gospel word out there, that seed will do what God wants it to do. We said that the other night. In Isaiah 55, 10, 11. That God's word never fails. Every time you let it loose, it does its job. Every time. Never fail. No matter what you might do, if you deliver the pure word, it will do its work. It'll prick the hearts of those that are looking for the truth. It'll drive those away who are not. It'll always do its job. It's not about you. It's about the word. Look in Matthew, in chapter 13. We need to always remember that because sometimes we get held back and we don't give in free. God does that. Matthew 13, verse 3, a sower went forth to sow. That's how it starts. That's how we start. He sowed the seed. And then, as Paul said, verse 13, 3, 6, God gives the increase. Paul planted the pot, watered, and God did the increase. Not you and me. We sowed the seed. That's all we've got to do. Because the gospel and the power of God and salvation is going to extend. And you can do it. You can do it. Verses 4 and 15 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says it all the time. Why can't we do this? Why can't we go and teach? Christ will give you the strength to do it. He'll give you the encouragement to go. He gives you the words to say. He tells you everything you need to do it. You can do it. I know you can, because what did he do with a fisherman? Matthew 4, he went out and got some fishermen. Some of those backcountry boys from Galilee. They were just fishermen. And we go to Acts chapter 4. You remember what the priest thought about them? When they saw them? Look at Acts 4, 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Galilee. Look what it says. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm telling you, the Lord can do something with you. He can use you. He can use you. If you study and learn, God can use you to be a powerful tool in His kingdom. He's already done it before. There's so many He can do it with you. We need to be faithful in that. So this parable we find is in the end, I can tell you, they were judged. They had to give a reckoning for what they've been entrusted with. They had to answer for it. Those who used them were rewarded. They were getting more. They had so much to look forward to. Look in 2 Timothy. Chapter 4 with me. Paul. I want to be able to meet the Lord and be able to say what Paul had to say. When Paul was getting to the end of his life, Paul was working for the Lord. He used his talents. He worked, he preached, he taught. And as his life is winding down, look how he meets it. He's ready. He's hopeful because he knows that he has been doing what the Lord has said to do. He says, in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. He says, in the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to be able to say that. And I hope that you will. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Paul is looking for the reward. Because we know, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. There's a reward coming. And in Acts chapter 20, he told the Ephesians, as he again knew that he was never going to see them again, he says in verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm sure of the blood of all men. I want to be able to say that. Don't you? We sing that song, you never mentioned him to me. I don't want to stand in the judgment seat to see somebody that I knew, and I never said anything to them. I don't want to do that. I want to be faithful. I want to use my talents. I want you to use yours. Those who did nothing, they lost everything. We need to be like those people in Hebrews 5, those that we don't need to be like those who haven't learned, who just are bathed and they say that. We need to keep growing and learning and striving to do and to know and to share. Because there's a need for mankind to be saved. And there's a message that needs to be put out. And everybody that gets the message, they've got to pass it on. You've got to share it. Not yours. You're obligated. But what a wonderful thing to be able to help somebody out. To see the gospel light, to come to the Lord. Luke 12, he says, who then is the faithful and simple servant, whom his master will put in charge of his servant, to give him the rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave that his master finds to do when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all possessions. Whom will the Lord find us watching, we say? Will he find us? I pray that he will. And so must that be personal work? We know the answer to that. Sin has separated man from God. God loves man. He provides a way of reconciliation. He sent the Savior. He gave the message. He sent the messengers. Is there still a need for it? Yes, there is. We claim that there's a need. Man still needs to be redeemed. He's still making mistakes. We're still making mistakes. There's a message, and it still needs to be shared. Man can be redeemed. We need to be telling people that, sharing that message. And we've seen that every person that learns this message, they need to share it. They need to go out there and find people and talk about it. If you're a Christian, God entrusted you to that. Sure enough, invest it. The gospel is in you. What are you going to do with it? You've got to get out. He's equipped you with everything. Everything you need. 2 Timothy 3:16 makes you perfect, complete, for every good work. Ephesians 4:11, certainly the church is there to equip us to do the work of ministry. To equip us to do our work. The church does its work to say in the gospel to the lost. You come and learn the Christ that you must go into. Every person has an obligation to do that. And so again, we want to be a faithful steward.